and possibly can also just interest it.
Jefferson, thank you very much. My name is Ashley Seymour, recently appointed to NISAS, as in a month and a half ago. On my right is my Chief Operating Officer, Linda Schlumeyer, and on her right is Ms. Merle Festers, the Chief Financial Officer, and on my left is our Communications Head, Bonnie Feltman, of course, Patrick Fitzgerald, our Chairperson, Stephen Smith, our Chair Audit Committee. Chairperson, honourable members, I of course come out of a completely private sector environment with an investment banking background, and certainly I'm pleased to be able to be of some service in a very critical area of the nation. I want to really just, before I launch into the presentation, Chairperson, just dimension some of the areas that I thought are key themes that I see going forward for me 2010 and beyond as far as focus areas. The first for NISAS, I believe, is capacitation. And certainly with the support and consideration of the Shield and this committee, I think we can make some inroads there. The second one, Chairperson, is really to look at building stronger, closer working relationships across stakeholders. I think very many times people tend to talk past each other as opposed to each other. And here I'm really referring to critical stakeholders within the higher education space.
You're not referring to the discussion previously? Okay.
Chairperson, okay. And then the third area really, of course, is looking at the implementation of the final recommendations of the report that was released yesterday, and certainly how that impacts on the strategic repositioning of NISFAS as an entity, however defined going forward. So those really are areas that would guide certainly my term, Chairperson. Then really going into the presentation, really just to recap, the scheme was started in 1999 by virtue of the Act 56, just marginally, I believe, preceding the PFMA, which is when NISFAS took over the preceding operations, being TEFSA, the Tertiary Education Fund of SA. And if effectively, the mandate is to provide student funding for financially needy but academically deserving students. Just to recap there, Chairperson, NISFAS does have fairly limited dealings directly with students. So it works with its financial aid office at the various universities in terms of the current modus operandi. In a nutshell, the key service offerings share at the student level, information, the funding, and of course the recovering of loans. At the institution level, the allocation for students, the training and support for the actual financial aid offices, and of course the monitoring and management of the take-up of the funding. For donors and funders, of course the expertise as far as the management and the station of loan and bursary funding, and then of course the recovering of those loans. Just by way of the total budget, as we currently have it for the 2010-2011 and of course the preceding year, just a key point to you I would like to mention there is if we look at the administration portion of the total budget, the comparative remains at 2% of the total, which is something that we are going to need to revisit given some of the critical key interventions we are going to pursue. And therefore, my focus areas that I've identified up front for consideration to the Shield and certainly this committee, Chair. Just by way of performance and growth to date, really just to encapsulate NISFAS over the last 4-5 years, that has just grown fundamentally, exponentially. A significant contributing factor, Chair, to where NISFAS is today, I would like to believe, is because of that exponential growth without the changes to its actual infrastructure, soft and hard infrastructure. I'd like to also point out to you that during this period, NIFAF received an unqualified audit opinion, which we hope to continue. Going straight into the strategic goals, Chair, just bearing in mind, I of course would not have been part and parcel of the process as far as developing these strategic goals, but I'm certainly making my commitment in the road going forward. The very first one, of course, expanding the pool of funds available. We set ourselves certain interventions in terms of maximizing the recovery, some of which we are going to have to revisit in terms of the operational processes. Promote the undergraduate loans and bursaries. And I think some of the comments that have come out and some of the stakeholder engagement that we'll have will pursue this exact same goal. Looking at raising new funding, undergraduate study, and of course the promotion of partnerships. Specific interventions planned to achieve that goal, Chair. We are saying that as an immediate, we've already begun to relook at the review of the loan book. Amongst the measures we are looking at in this process is potentially to have a look at that part of our loan book that's performing to see if there's an opportunity to convert that part to a type of a bonded bursary type exercise. What I mean by that, Chair, is really to explore the possibility of pursuing employers to see if there's an appetite for them to, in fact, take over some of that loan bursary and those loans and convert it to bursary for their employees in a kind of a retention exchange type exercise. Paying the funds under administration, I think there's some scope for that, Chair. Review of our debt recovery strategy and expanding the first-year NGO partners. Our second one, Chair, is really just managing more effectively the institutional utilization of funds. We've taken note of some of the concerns this committee raised in the past. There are interventions that we've implemented, and we'd like to report some of the results. It remains a challenge, Chair, and I think it would be remiss for us to say that challenge is completely resolved at where we stand now. Just looking at the results of the initiative, I think the level of the utilization as far as the funding is concerned certainly has shown some improvement, Chairperson. We are looking at tightening some of the reporting and submission of claims deadlines. We've in fact communicated with institutions, both the FET side as well as the university side. There's ongoing training as far as capacitating the financial aid practitioners. Looking at our goal number three, Chairperson, we need to strengthen the internal efficiencies, the whole processing of awards and claims, to ensure that the funding reaches its target. A number of intervention changes, key amongst these, of course, improving the processing efficiency of loan and bursary agreements. I think the review report has alluded to our actual physical infrastructure requirements. We're about to look at moving part of our awards administration into greater space to facilitate exactly that. Reducing the administration demand on financial aid offices and some of the data capturing, enhancing our systems, providing fairly high-level information technology infrastructure. These are all areas that are receiving our attention, Chairperson. We are in the process with the ELAF. I think a lot has been said to date about that. Where we are at this point is we are in the evaluation stage of the pilot sites, which is UKZN, TUT, and UCT, and I think that will inform how we progress as far as that is concerned. We've implemented the distribution of statements to debtors by means of SMS using technology that I think appeals to the cohort generation. In terms of increasing the effectiveness and the efficiency of reaching that target, strategic goal number four, really just strengthening the quality of the internal management operations in line with, of course, the funding patterns I've alluded to that right up front, Chairperson. I think the issue is capacitating NISFAS, physical as well as the soft infrastructure. Some of the initiatives as far as goal number four is concerned, from a governance and operational risk perspective, we've implemented our enterprise risk management system as far as a draft is concerned, and to roll that out. Some of our organizational and stakeholder risk assessments, as far as the HAIs is concerned, Chairperson, we've gone through extensive length as far as that is concerned. Detailed organizational and IT governance regulatory reviews. We've recently appointed co-sourcing internal audit partners. And the mandate there has been changed from where it previously was only at the institutions level. This will include and incorporate significantly the head office, which of course have got cost implications. We've had to revisit and look at our human resources budget, the performance management system as far as all staff is concerned. We're about to launch into a skills audit. These are initiatives that, in fact, have already started. IT developments as well. It's the ones that we're looking forward to. But key to many of these interventions is capacitation check. Looking at our strategic goals, number five, effective communication and managing the relationships. Again, Chair, it is something that I've alluded to up front. I anticipate embarking on a roadshow, kicking off with a slot at the HESA board, amongst others. And certainly we'll be seeing quite a lot of fairly high-level engagements for direct communication. We're also seeking opportunities, Chairperson, to directly engage with the student population. I think I've mentioned some of these other school visits, amongst others. And a more closer working relationship with some of the stakeholders. Looking at strategic goal number six, Chairperson, our research capacity, although thin at this stage, but I think with the review report, it certainly will provide quite a lot of opportunities for further engagement as far as that is concerned, which is part and parcel of our mandate. We need to strengthen our policy and advisory support through the development of our reports. Again, it's a capacity and a resource issue. And the collaboration and consultation with these stakeholders to inform some of these interventions. I think I've touched on some of those initiatives, interventions here. Chairperson, I really just want to leave it there at this stage and invite the questions.
Thank you. Can I advise members, it's in a sense a bit of a transition period here. The reality is we've just dealt with the new before the session, and now we're dealing with the old. Oh, not in the context of like the annual plan, reflecting back, but only in the context of there's a superimpositioning of already now a directive through a review process, as well as even the longer term issues, but then some of the implementation mechanisms to be unlocked in this financial year, as the Minister has said. So taking that into account, I would caution the members to delve then a lot into the historical details that we know. This committee has pronounced itself also, whether it's on fee increases, whether it is on the hikes of interest hikes, whether it's we've pronounced ourselves on all of those things. I don't want to get us to deal with those issues then, unless the review process didn't unbundle that. And knowing that we're going to have to come up with some form of how do we manage the transition process then, and is what we've heard from NISFAS now around the strat plan in the context of 2010-2011 as well, is that at least starting to deal with some of the implementation issues that we believe needs to be dealt with? I think that's rather for me the context of this discussion. Mr. James? I was going to ask a question about the current management you have of non-public funds, because you manage the funds from private sources. And you saw what's in the report. The report recommended you only manage public funds. So I was going to ask that question. But in the broader context of what you would recommend in terms of the gearing of your organization administratively to efficiently manage the quantum of funds that have grown so massively, especially in the light of what's coming ahead. Because if our country does what it says it will do, you're going to have even more money to deal with. So I'm sure there's no short answer to that question, but what is the idea, what is the concept that would drive you to gear NSFAS on an administrative level to do those things?
Chairperson, it's exactly that vision, the realization that we received the FET responsibility about a year or two back, and we anticipate a significant growth going forward. In fact, we've just had a nearly 50% growth in the very last financial year in terms of the number of applications that we've handled. So, Jay, as acknowledgement thereof, it is born out of that understanding that we need to completely overhaul our current soft and hard infrastructure to be able to handle significantly larger volumes. And I think I've alluded to the fact that we need to capacitate NSFAS. So that will have budgetary implications, amongst other things. I don't know if I'm answering the Honourable Member's question.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks for the presentation. I just want to know your present staff complement. Thanks.
Chairperson, I think it's in the sort of 97 total number, of which roughly about 15 is temporary at this stage, the remainder permanent.
Emma Kabat?
I'm sort of sitting here. I'm a bit frustrated and confused a bit. I think, I'm just concerned about how do we take the situation going forward. Noting what you have raised in terms of us not engaging on other things, but I'm just looking at the programs that have been highlighted, and as they are highlighted, I say direct effect or impact by the review on those programs as we are sitting here. That's something I'm not so sure what to do or what to say now. Because as I'm sitting, when you check the programs, I think it's 4 and 5 and 6, if I'm not mistaken, that is directly affected by the review. I think I raised this earlier on, and the minister was saying, no, there wouldn't be, but as the presentation is happening, it's going back to where I had raised to say. In light of that, there's a lot. You talk about HR, there's a proposal of it, an HR specialist, so turnaround of the HR. That's the strategy we need to speak to. Recovery, the issue of what you administer as NSFAS. And those are the things that are reflected as the immediate by the minister. The issue of the loan book. So hence I raised this issue earlier on. Perhaps maybe you can guide us from where we are sitting.
For that, can we, is there any other question so that we then can proceed? In fact, what we are saying is that, one, we would urgently want to see NSFAS and the department to actually meet so that there is some form of coherence in what the implementation speaks to of how you're going to go between 2010-11 till 2013-14. I think that's one. So if members can accept that in a sense. That urgency is to the point where we are saying, because really the review was only made, was announced now, but it's not as if people didn't know what's the underbelly of that review. The last, sorry, Mr. Chips and Sir Gerald.
Yes, I think I'm absolutely
along the same lines as you, Chair, and the previous honourable member. I think it's a problem of change management. And I think it's a problem for NSFAS. It's even a problem for the current NSFAS board, in that we do have an inkling of the considerations and the recommendations that are coming down the channel. On the other hand, as you rightly say, we only formally saw the report yesterday, and that report is still going to undergo a consultation process. And, of course, the minister's application of mind, and ultimately the board will be informed by the shareholder which of those recommendations are to be implemented, which are to be prioritized. I think that I would like to assure the chair that, and I think it's absolutely requisite, that we need to be in closer contact and ongoing consultation with the department in regard to these modalities, and we need to implement the current plan that's just been presented in a future orientated way. We, you know, as honourable members know, we have to have a strategic plan that goes together with the MTF process, and that strategic plan can only formally flow from our current mandate, which hasn't as yet been changed. But I think we need to do our best, and we need to assure you we'll do our best to within our implementation begin to emphasize those aspects that are beginning to converge with the recommendations that are coming through the public policy process. And I can understand it's slightly difficult. There's a certain amount of cognitive dissonance. I think we have the same, but we're going to have to be absolutely on the ball in how we do this going forward.
So what we are suggesting is, one, that there is a set of recommendations pronounced on by the review committee. That is for discussion still. Then in that, there's things that the department, through the ministry, has said publicly yesterday and has confirmed today again with the portfolio committee that these are the matters that needs to be implemented for January of 2011, right? So that's what I hear. Now, in order for you to then synchronize, as Honourable Member Whippia says, what the minister's implementation, one of the issues that we've got as a committee, unless it's in the strat plan and unless it's in the budget, it is not going to be dealt with, bottom lines, because you have to report on a strat plan and you have to report on a performance management tool vis-a-vis the issue of a budget. I think there's also possibly a difference of opinion, which I forget to raise earlier, around what actually a strat plan is. The strat plan 10 years ago in government is completely different to a strat plan today. A strat plan today speaks of very specific outcomes. It doesn't speak general anymore. So I'm raising that because also initially in the earlier, when you were the director general, strat plans were supposed to be very general. Am I right? It was vague. It was broad. Today, strat plans is actually much more focused on implementation. You have to say, these are the targets. This is so many individuals. This is so many people. This is so many providers, etc., etc. However, it all happens at the backdrop of a reconfigured administration in the context of 2009 and 2010. So that is the reality. What I'm going to suggest is that between the department, the person responsible, the link with NSFAS, and NSFAS itself, operation management, and obviously through the structure, sit around, go and have a meeting, and just spell out for us what, therefore, is the steps to be followed that is not current in the strat plan, but that has now been publicly pronounced. Our problem is, you know, there's skepticism in society. At least one of the, we have committee members here, but I know one of the parties in this committee, outside, not in the committee, but outside, generally would raise the issue about, will things be implemented, or are we just talking? Now, ways to actually pull down and bring it together speaks to that. So what we are saying is, Can the department therefore not communicate with NISFA through a media statement, and that the leadership of the two institutions sit together. They then will draw up in support of the strat plan, meaning there's a caveat saying, yes, this is the strat plan. However, there is a review, there's the decision of the review or the recommendations, this is the pronouncement of the minister, and this is how we'll follow up. So I'm trying to find a middle road, and that middle road is, if you can do that, we will not be able to pass it unless we, for example, get that alignment between ministry, the department, and NSFAS in terms of this, the process ahead. So that's really what we want to see. So that when the department speaks about NSFAS, they sing from the same hymn sheet, then NSFAS is speaking. When the minister, and that will be our tool of oversight and of performance analysis. So that's really what we are saying. So if you can put essentially a management paper together, not a thesis. I'm talking about the two-page in terms of, or two or three-page. This is how we are rolling this out. This is how we're managing from the old to the new. Members, that is what I want to suggest in that context. So we understand the limitations. We are saying that we'll take this forward. And if you also can look at figures in the strat plan, look at figures in E&E, and look at figures in your presentation. And offline I'll indicate there's some lack of synergy even in some of that. So I'm just, I don't even want to get there. But I'm highlighting some of those things. But for now we are saying we continue, but we continue in the context. So it's important for the chairperson of NSFAS, the CEO of NSFAS, to make contact with the relevant officials in the department, get around the table, and ensure that happens. We'll also likewise send a message to, I am seeing the minister later, I think, and we'll, you as well. And we'll also be sending it via the secretary. That's it.
Can I propose that we get that before the budget debate vote next week? So that it assists, because we can't go into...
You mean on Monday? We can't get it before. It must be on Monday.
We can't go into the budget debate without this clarity, because we've got to support the vote.
Do you understand what we're looking for?
I'm understanding correctly. You're looking effectively for a response, a joint response between the SAS and the department that kind of speaks to the implementation of the immediate actions.
I think you understand where it is, unless, because otherwise it's in the air and it can be picked up that it's not in the... Now, we can say it's not in the strat plan because the review process came late. I think that's what the chairperson of NSFAS indicated, that there is an MTF process and deadlines and time frames. So it's clear? So it's literally, for example, just sitting down and crafting out, look at what the minister said in that press statement and look at what is said here and just the way you'll proceed on that.
I think it's doable.
Yeah. Okay.
I believe it's doable as you suggest.
Yeah. Thanks.
Just to make sure that, of course, that two or three pages will not be speaking to the other recommendations, which are still
in
discussion.
No. No, that will be the context, the way you write it in, on top. Then, I don't know how you say it in English, ik de broerkie doet. Ik de broerkie doet aan. James.
There is no translation for that.
Yeah.
No, it's one of those...
because I was asking you,
one of those idiomatic expressions
that... yeah. No, let me say what... I thought that would be a very good English expression. This thing about the this dropout, there's this refrain every time. Can't we ask the NSFAS leadership? In the meantime, there's some more people, Honorable Member James the other day was on a parliamentary channel. The two of us debated. Sometimes we agree, sometimes then we have to disagree. But he raised the issue of this underspent on scarce skill, or underspent generally. And I hold a view, and it's a view that I said last year already, to this structure of NSFAS. It's not good enough to speak about we are waiting on maths and science kids from school. There's just, why don't you just go into the fore? Why don't you just, in your roadshow, between now and 4 months from now, go into the poorest provinces and go and look at students that have dropped out, that are working for Checkers, working for ShopRite, working at Pick n Pay. They are cashiers. They work at the till, etc. And I suspect there's a lot out there. Can't we do something? There's dropouts now. Last year there were dropouts. Can't we just try and do something about this? Now I know it is a short-term intervention in a bigger pool of things, because I've heard also earlier, is it 48% dropout rate that the minister speaks about? And my uncomfortability is we just hear that a week ago we've asked the department, what is the reduction for the dropout? So in this fast, are you throwing money away because you are essentially giving money every year, but there's no return on investment? Also, I must admit, I also have a broerke to it, and the issue of this thing called unqualified audit opinions. This thing about unqualified audit opinions. Everyone speaks about unqualified. You know, education department came here, said to us, for 7 years they had an unqualified audit opinion. But where's the impact? So some of us possibly wrongly argue that if you can just do basic financial compliance in the PFMA, that you actually comply with financial auditing principles. You understand what I'm saying? Doesn't mean the performance impact. It doesn't speak to the dropout. It doesn't speak to any of that. So the next process will be, and especially if where you're coming from, as a CEO, your experience, I know you as auditing people, there's just a technical process, and as long as the compliance are being met, I'm saying that's the way auditing in South Africa happens. We are taking it to a different level, and we want to integrate performance auditing as well. There's the head of auditing.
Chair, if I may just respond to that briefly, I think one of the updates that are being done in terms of the codes of how governance is looked at in this fact has to do with the issue of sustainability and assurance for the board. And when we recently briefed the new co-sourced internal audit partners, we asked them to scope everything within that framework, which includes defining the concept of sustainability for an organization like NISFAS. What does that mean? And clearly, if you're having dropout ratios at the level we're seeing in terms of the review, that is not sustainable. And so everything has to fit in to how we create a sustainable environment. That isn't necessarily a financially sustainable environment, but in terms of its overall delivery and its goals. Thank you.
But can we then thank the leadership of NSFAS, both at its structure, the board, as well as its management? Also, I think with the committee can say the times that we had to request NSFAS in January or February, and I think, are you still the COO? Yeah. I must say that you were very, very helpful in that period. In fact, I insisted to my office that we are not looking for you, we are looking for just people operational, and the COO's office said, no, the buck stops here, let it rather come through that channel. Because we felt we don't want to disturb your important work with a student somewhere in Wellington, but you still, and you were able to deal with that. not necessarily everything being dealt with the way a student wants, but definitely every issue managed appropriately. So also just thanks for that. Moses, we now will go, we'll excuse Nisfas and we'll go into our committee in terms of the recommendations. Amira?
Chair, I just wanted to say that the Afrikaans idiomatic expression, what it does, it conveys a sentiment of one feeling as if you lost a brother, which means that, I mean, the closest English word to that is to feel bereft. It's something, it's a sense of deep loss. So that's, but there's no English for it now.
Ask the English people to work on
to
something.
Feel bereft. Ek het 'n broertjie dood. I have a brother dead.